I hope truly that you have had a good week and that life is treating you fairly. It's not always easy. I know that times are tough for those who have to try to make it in this society. I know indeed that there is a hidden agenda. And I know that you and I are called to be something different. The title of my message today is, You Shall Be Witnesses to Me. You shall be witnesses to the great Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Messiah, our Deliverer. That's not always easy to do as we read about that agenda. It's not always easy to do as we deal with peer pressure. It's not easy to do when we're at school, right, kids? It's not easy sometimes to say to your fellow student, I don't eat ham. I keep the Sabbath. I keep a seventh day and opposed to Sunday. I'm going to keep the Feast of Tabernacles and I'm not going to do Christmas. Sometimes we deal with those circumstances even at work and we wonder why we have to face all of these things. And yet we are called indeed to be that witness. I'd like to share with you an article that was written in the Prophecy News Watch May 10th by Dr. Michael Brown. I've only chosen to read a portion of this article. It would be long and lengthy, but it is one that I would suggest points us in a direction that we need to all go. The title of this particular article is Seven Sure Signs America Has Declared War on Our Faith. I wonder if that's part of the hidden agenda. We didn't know what we were going, the first speaker today, Wayne, Mr. Petty, and I were not subject to each other's conversation. I found out, as you did, what we were going to hear in the Beyond Today. But yet I think it was quite applicable and as apropos today as we address these issues and I address to you the idea that you are still a witness. I ask you to consider that regardless of what you see and you face every day, you are still a witness, not of yourself, but of Jesus Christ. Remember, there are seven signs described in this article challenging one's faith. But I chose a description of one particular challenge, and that is the Colorado Supreme Court. And one of the reasons why I did that, obviously it's an adjacent state just to the north of us, has chosen not to hear the case of a Christian baker. Jack Phillips is his name, who was previously ordered by the Colorado Civil Rights Commission to create cakes for same-sex celebrations, to re-educate his staff and file quarterly compliance reports for 2 years. According to Jeremy Tedesco, senior counsel with the Alliance Defending Freedom, we asked the Colorado Supreme Court to take this case to ensure that governments understand that its duty is to protect people's freedoms to follow their beliefs personally and professionally, not to enforce them to violate these beliefs as a price of earning a living. You suppose that's part of the hidden agenda? I think so. Jack, who has happily served people from all backgrounds for years, simply exercised a long-cherished American freedom to decline to use his artistic talents to promote a message and event with which he disagrees. And that freedom shouldn't be placed in jeopardy for anyone. Really, when you think about it, living here in America, we always say it's the land of the free. And we know, we've heard, how many times have we heard that freedom is never free, that there is a price to be paid. And there may be that price for you and I as we witness, not about ourselves, but our beliefs in Jesus Christ and the great God eternal. The court declined to hear the case, meaning that the state civil rights commission not only had the power to require a bakery to make same-sex cakes, wedding cakes, but also to require the baker to re-educate his staff and file regular reports proving that he is baking those cakes. Remember and think about what it's like in other countries. This article goes on to prove that Chairman Mao would have been very proud of a state-mandated re-education program. Can you imagine that? That someone was told that they not only had to go about doing what the state had required to bake these cakes, but they had to re-educate their staff, regardless of what their staff might have felt, regardless of how they felt. Certainly doesn't sound like the United States of America. It's shocking. Remember what is said in Psalm 33:12. Blessed is the nation who God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. Are we losing that blessing? I would think so. Are we losing our inheritance? Well, we will if we continue on this path as a country. But you and I are to be different, aren't we? Does this remind you of the United States that we live in now? Of a country who is blessed by God? Who he has chosen as an inheritor? Certainly as a nation, it is safe to say we are losing our faith, and I believe that wholeheartedly. And our inheritance, unless something changes, and changes soon. Let's turn to Acts 1. Acts 1, verses 4 through 8. Remember, we have just 3 weeks. 3 weeks tomorrow. And we will be taking part in Pentecost for 2016. And the basis of this whole message is found in this section of Scripture. Verse 4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Jesus says, look, I've told you about this promise, as he has told us through Scripture, as he has told us through our faith, as he has shared with us through those who stand and say, look, this is what's being done, and this is what's said, and this is what you need to believe. But don't believe me. Prove it. And when you've proven it, share it. It's not always easy, is it? But it's what you and I need to do. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now you have to understand, these particular gentlemen, these disciples, these people who follow, men and women, who follow Jesus Christ, who knew of him, suddenly saw their Messiah taken from them. And they were now facing life anew. They were going a different direction. They were wondering what's next. Yes, they were promised so many things, and they tried to believe, they tried to embrace, but suddenly they were in conflict. They were being persecuted. They were being challenged by people who wanted to kill them. And yet they were told to wait just a little longer. Therefore, when they had come together in verse 6, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Think about that. That's a question we still have. And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. It's only God's will. Not yours, not mine, but our Father's. But you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem. Now this is where we get the title to this particular message. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Well, many of us think Albuquerque is the end of the earth. Many of us understand that there are many places around here that refuse to even listen to the Word of God. It continues on, though, with the recognition that Jesus ascends to heaven. And when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Can you imagine? Put yourself there. Can you imagine? Here is your Savior. Here is your leader, your mentor. He has given you so much. You've seen so much through him. You've actually seen miracles. And suddenly it's taken off into a cloud. And I can imagine staring up there wondering, what's next? I didn't get all the answers. I need some more help. I need some more direction. Verse 11 says, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into the heavens? It's like, what are you wasting your time for? What are you looking for? This same Jesus who has taken up from you into heaven will come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. That's encouraging, isn't it? This Jesus that you saw go, he's coming back. And I wonder if there was an even greater discussion. This is just a sidebar on my part. It's speculation. I don't know. But the angels probably said it's time to get with it. It's time to set aside that portion of your life and start serving in a greater way. Not setting aside the actual beliefs, but now you have to get on with it. You can't just wait around. But to understand that the Holy Spirit is coming to you. Remember when the angel said in verse 11, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in the same manner as you saw him go into heaven. How many people do you think believe in the return of Christ today? As a whole, I know I'm preaching to the choir. But if you go out into the community and you say, do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in his return? Do you believe it's imminent? Do you believe that there is a God in heaven? Around this world, this is becoming more and more of an issue. And people almost want to deny that they have any understanding of it. Even if they do have some actual knowledge, they don't want to admit to it. They don't want to witness to it. It's a big deal, actually. We seem to live in a society which ignores God's commands, his laws, his holy days, his son's sacrifice. But we are to bear witness to all that all is still in place. Luke 21, verse 8. States this. Take heed that you not be deceived. Take heed that you don't accept the hidden agenda. Take heed that you not be confused, for I am real, as he says. I am your witness. You bear witness to me, not a false witness, but you bear witness to me. For many will come in my name saying, I am he, and the time has drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them. Don't seek them. This requires you and I to have some education, some awareness of what is real and what is false. What is true witness and what is false witness? We're challenged every day by Satan and his influences in this world and by humanity itself to go with false witness. What's amazing to me is when you talk about all of these new educational views, and you look at the colleges and how they refuse to accept a challenging point of view. They try to claim that it isn't real communication, it isn't free speech. What do you mean it isn't free speech? You're not willing to be challenged. And the fact of the matter is, most of the time, these people don't want to hear it. Take heed that you will not be deceived, for many will come in my name. J. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown renders verse 11 of Act 1 this way. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? As if your now glorified head were gone from you, never to return. He is coming again. Not another, but the same Jesus. You see, we try to create our own image of God. And here it's telling us, no, it's the same God, it's the same Jesus who was crucified, who died, who rose again. And that's who you are to witness to. And as you have seen him go, in the like manner he shall come. As personally, as visibly, as gloriously, and let the joyful expectation of this coming swallow up his departure. In other words, rejoice in the fact that he is to return. Come, Lord Jesus, come. We are to bear witness with joyful expectation of Jesus Christ. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20 has the challenge for you and I as witnesses. What does it say in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20? It says, make disciples of all nations. Remember where we read in verse 11, or verse 8 rather, that it wasn't just Jerusalem and Judea, but it was to the ends of the earth that we were to witness. It seems as though it is reinforced by these scriptures when it says, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, receiving that gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what Pentecost is all about, right? In Acts 2, we read about that new covenant church coming into place and these people being called and, of course, challenged Peter, what shall we do? And he said, repent and be baptized and then receive the laying on of hands and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit so that you might witness in a greater and better way. 3,000 people were called that particular day, weren't they? It continued in a communal attitude of life, of witnessing to the world, being that light, being that voice. It's not easy in the world we live in. But you know what? I'll bet it wasn't any easier for them. Lots of people were trying to kill them. There was a great deal of martyrdom. Look at the disciples. We still have martyrdom in this world, though. If you look towards the Middle East and you hear all the things that Christians now who are trying to convert from, say, Islam are challenged with and how they are actually crucified, beheaded, killed in obscene ways, standing as a witness. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. I will be with you. That's the gift that you and I have. But you know, that's sometimes easier said than done. Would you turn with me to Luke 17, verses 26 and 27? You know, it's interesting to me. As many of you know, Jim Ford does not like malls. Okay? For those of you who don't know it, I'm fessing up now. And my daughter forced me to go to a mall this week. And it was really difficult. She did so by buying her mother some nice books for Mother's Day. Trouble was, Mom already had one of those books. So suddenly I found myself in Barnes & Noble. While she's looking for these books, I see these titles of these books, and I see these people, I see the magazines, I see all these things that I'm not normally exposed to in downtown Estancia, New Mexico. I am shocked. Seriously, I am shocked. What is the world coming to? A lady comes up and asks me, can I help you? She was most kind. She truly was a nice person. She was a great clerk, tattooed from here to there, and I can't help but wonder about all of that and know about the scriptural reference to all of these things. And it seems like these people don't care anymore about what God wants or cares about or what to do. And you can see it from the titles. You see all of these things, all of these demonic expressions on these books, wanting us to buy a different path. And yet you and I are to be witnesses. I was grateful to get to leave. Really. I mean, it's just like, this is crazy. People seem to be just buying it. Hook, line, and sinker. And as was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. Likewise, it was as it was also in those days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. Now you can argue that's basically describing day-to-day life. But we are to witness. We are to be different. We are to understand what the times are bringing us. No, we don't know the exact time. We don't know the day or the hour, but certainly we see conditions changing. This is not the America I was born in. This is not the America that I grew up in. This is not the America that I became a young married man in. This is not the America that I lived in just 10 years ago. This is not the America I lived in just a year ago. I heard this statistic last night about, and this was in a religious context, and someone was saying, and I cannot verify its veracity, I don't know how true it is, but they said by 2050, which I don't believe is an issue, but by 2050, information, our world, the information that we have will double every 12 hours. What's that like? It sounds like a great deal of confusion to me, actually. So what we had 12 hours ago is going to be wrong 12 hours from now? I mean, please. What does it say in Ecclesiastes, that last chapter, where it talks about there's so much. Look at what Solomon's saying. He's saying, look, there's so much, but it's of very little value. Read that. Read the chapter, Ecclesiastes 12. Look at it and see what you think. Solomon, the wisest man, knew that too much knowledge wasn't necessarily a good thing. Especially if it happened 12 hours ago, I guess. What's going to happen in the next 12 hours? I ask you, what do you think? Where are we in all of this? It seems like the world is oblivious to it. They don't really care a great deal. Most of us are really into self-absorbed views of life. What makes us feel good? What makes us happy? Those aren't necessarily wrong, but they have to be within the perspective of God's law, of His will. Not what we want to do necessarily. But the time will come in 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4, if you want to turn there with me. And I believe this sincerely. I really do. I see this every day. I see this in the hidden agenda. I see it in people who will not tolerate the truth, who don't want to hear it. They don't want to even allow these people on campus. They don't want to be challenged. They don't want to know that there is an opposing point of view, and it is that the great God eternal is still on His throne and that Jesus Christ is His true Son, and He is our deliverer and our Messiah. And He will soon deliver us all. That's what I believe. Not exactly when, but I think it's soon. It has to be soon. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers. They will have people tell them what they want to hear. They will have people that will not challenge their little cocoon. They won't hear it. And they will turn their ears away, in verse 4, from the truth and be turned aside to fables. They'll embrace just about anything. Do you think this is the world we live in? I do. Am I to be different? Yes, I am. What's it like when you go to the feast? I want to turn your attention to the Feast of Tabernacles. What's it like? Isn't it one of the most joyful times of your year? Isn't it so encouraging to know that there are people of like mind? Isn't it encouraging to hear the Word of God espoused in such a way that you know is true, that is clear, that is clean from this world? And it is also very nice to enjoy those physical things when you can set aside some time, not challenged by the world. That's God's intent. Surely we can witness to that. Surely we can witness to a world that's coming that is so much better than what we have. Surely we can witness to the understanding that God's commands are really ways of freedom. They're not a challenge to us in the sense of something that makes us do something we don't want to do, but protects us, particularly from this world. I know this was read last week, but it's been on my mind for several weeks. In fact, Mrs. Waters and I were talking about it a few weeks ago. Maybe it's on your mind as well. Permit me to read it once again. Would you turn with me to Hebrews 11? I want to read verses 13 through 16. I want to ask you what you crave today. Besides a hamburger or pizza. I'm saying mentally. I'm saying spiritually. I'm saying socially. I'm saying what is what makes you tick? What do you want out of life? What do you need out of life? I know I crave the independence of God's world. Of His truth. I don't always get that done. I don't always have those thoughts. Temptation sometimes takes me astray and I regret it later and I try to repent of it and I try to make changes, but I know the challenges that come from our world. But you are to bear witness to a different world. Don't you crave sharing the covenant that God has put before us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? Don't you crave seeing it completely fulfilled, the fruition of that covenant? We're going to experience a wedding soon. And it is a depiction of God's covenant. It is a depiction of Jesus Christ and His bride coming together and living as family. Do we not crave that? Do we not want that? I think we do. I know this, as I read in verse 11, or 13 rather, that these people died in faith. In other words, talking about Moses and going on. You can read those scriptures or those earlier scriptures. Not having received the promises. In other words, they still were clinging. They had the faith. They knew it was coming. Just as the disciples asked, how much longer until your kingdom? Where is it? When is it coming? And Christ told them that it was a situation that they didn't need to worry about. But to simply keep the faith. As you and I need to keep that faith. But having seen it far off, I want you to look in your mind's eye at what you believe the kingdom is and how important it is to you. I want you to look afar off and see it. Embrace it. They didn't see it completely, but they had the promise. Haven't seen it far off, were assured of it. They knew it. It was part of them. They embraced them and confessed that they were what? Strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Boy, if all I got to do to feel like a stranger is go to Barnes & Noble. That's all I got to do. Where do you have to go? You know there is a place in your world that makes it evident that you are not really part of this society. But you must witness to a world to come. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. You know, we just completed the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. Do you know what those days are sometimes referred to by the Jewish community? They're called the Holy Day or the Feast of Liberation, the Feast of Freedom. They're times of freedom. They're times of liberation. Why? Because the sacrifice you and I have by Jesus Christ has given us that freedom, that liberation from this world that we would have never had. We would have never had the Holy Spirit if God hadn't sent His only begotten Son to sacrifice His own life so we could have this covenant. That's what you and I witness to. And truly, if they called to mind that country for which they had come out of, they would have had an opportunity to return. If you wanted to go back, if you got to go back, you can go back. I can point to scripture that tells you it's like returning to vomit, the dog. But we're not going to do that. But you can. Sometimes temptation pulls us back, but that's not what this is all about. But now, what? What? It goes on to say in verse 16 that we desire better. We desire better than that in actuality. A heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. Remember what it says in verse 1 of this particular chapter, which just simply defines faith. It says faith is a substance. It's the realization of things hoped for, the evidence, the confidence of things not seen. That's why I ask you to visualize, to put it in your mind's eye, to look past this world, to understand the beauty of what is to come. Turn to John 14, verses 12 through 18, please. These are words of encouragement. These are answered prayer scriptures, the reference to answered prayer. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the work that I do, he will also do. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. Remember, it took the sacrifice. It took the return of Jesus Christ to his Father to send back that Holy Spirit. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. You see, Jesus now promises a new helper as he continues on, another helper. If you love me, keep my commandments. So the question is, we have to answer for ourselves, do we love God? If you do, if I do, I keep his commandments. The Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, who won't, remember, they don't want it. They have itchy ears because it neither sees it nor knows it, but you know it, for it dwells with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. How encouraging is that? How beautiful is that? Never alone. Romans 6, verses 4 through 6 say this. Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that Jesus as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. We shouldn't be encumbered by it. We should be able to witness and say, you know what, sin is not the way to go. These things are harming you. It's not just that God wants you to quit. It is your own protection. It is your own life on the line here. Yes, God demands of us obedience, and we must always remember that God requires of us obedience. But these laws protect us as well. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Remember, that heavenly country, that promised land, that's where we are going. This is our focus. Hopefully this is what we will do and continue on. In Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4, we see John looking up. And I ask you to look up. I ask you to look past all of these things that seem to trip us up, that encumber us, that make us want to forget what's important to us. I ask you to consider your witness. I ask you to make certain that your witness be pure and that of what God intends for every one of us to be about. Remember, we are to be out creating disciples. Remember what Matthew 28 said. But I ask you to let me read this, if you would. And I want you to look, try to visualize this. If it requires you to close your eyes or whatever you need to do, I want you to go with John. I want you to read his words and hear his words, rather, and try to visualize what John was seeing. Several millennia ago. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the new heaven, first heaven, and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. There was complete change. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Once again, we see that covenant being enforced. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Wow, I look forward to that. Don't you? My parents' anniversary, or at least what would have been their anniversary, was this past week. It always is a time of reminding me how precious they were to me. And I can't wait for that time when I can just sit there and talk with them again. Surely there's someone there for you. Surely there is someone who cares. Surely there is someone you can witness to that there needs to be a new world. And God will wipe away all those tears. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain. For the former things have passed away. My wife sat and dealt with a friend who shared with her that her son committed suicide because he saw no way out. How beautiful it'd be for that person to be resurrected and to be directed in a new path, to witness to him, to give him hope, to give him life. That's your job. That's your job. I try to close my messages with these two scriptures because they're so intrinsically important to me. I pray they're that important to you. We are on that freedom trail. We are on that liberation point of view. And you and I are to embark as witnesses into the world that we go into, not just this week, but for the rest of our lives. As they say, if the Lord tarry. It doesn't really matter. We can die in faith, I pray. If that's what's necessary. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.